New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Coming to you alive through the power of the interwebs. Inside the Green Room Studio from the flagship source of the Earth Mix Garden Products Network, it's the At-Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates, bringing you all the wisdom
and wit
you'll ever need to tackle your garden and your projects. Now broadcasting live from Bates Nursery and Garden Center at 3810 Whites Creek Pike, just 1 mile north of exit 19 off Briley Parkway.
Or 0.9 miles as the Josh drives.
Here's Josh Carey and David Bates.
Oh yeah, everybody knows what that music means. It's now time to climb a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Don your loincloth. Put your jingle balls in front though, right?
Wouldn't you wear a snowsuit?
I don't know. I wouldn't wear a snowsuit.
Well, I mean, it's cold outside. Why'd you wear a loincloth?
Your jingle balls need to be covered.
Josh has a special leotard set that he wears with the loincloth this time of year.
Camo spandex. Yes, folks, it's time. It's the At-Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates. I am Josh Carey.
And I am David Bates.
Michael Stevenson is to the left.
Tyler Blankenship. Why'd I say Bradley for? Blankenship. Behind the off camera, I should say, and he's the guy who's
He can talk. He's got a mic right by him.
Hey, there you are. So yeah, he's gonna be the guy who's gonna be pushing any comments that you may have. He's gonna be he'll be shouting them out. We're working through some technology. Perhaps you saw this week that Tyler and I did a little test video. Was it day before yesterday, Tyler? I think that's right.
Yes, okay. 2 days ago.
So anyway, we're running some new software, and we're trying to figure out all of the new controls, and there's no small amount of things to deal with. So anyway, we're trying to work through that and trying to bring you a better program, something that's a little slicker, and hopefully we'll be able to eventually get our social media comments up here on the big board behind us. But we're a couple of steps removed.
So type nice comments.
Okay. Well, we do have the ability. We have a way that we're going to be able to
give you a
hashtag that you can embed into your comments that will allow them to go up there, and then Tyler will screen them before they go up. And I think that's the way we worked out. So anyway, we're looking forward to being able to add that feature. I'd say the first thing we ought to consider is the weather. And let me see where my weather went.
It's cold.
Yeah, well, it's a little chilly this morning, but we've got sunshine. And today is, of course, Saturday. Going to have a high today near 53 degrees with abundant sunshine. Winds will be out of the west, but pretty light, only about 5 miles an hour. Going around to the north later in the afternoon on tonight, going to be partly cloudy, low of about 32, I should say. Northeasterly winds about 5 miles an hour, and then it's going to become calm. After that, we all want to remain calm, particularly at nighttime. On Sunday, it will be partly sunny, a high of around 50 degrees, and we're going to have very light winds, again, maybe 5 miles an hour. Sunday night, calm winds again, maybe up to 5 miles an hour, low of at or just below freezing. And as we go through the week, you see, we have a nice mix of mostly sunny, but a few clouds along the way.
Mostly.
Yep. And there's really only mention of rain comes in about a week, which we know that actually means nothing because it's a week away. Currently, it's 31 degrees here in the Music City in the green room at Bates Nursery.
All righty. We're hearing a little dink in
there's
the back.
There's a chirp.
There's a chirp.
There's a bird somewhere.
Is that right?
If it sounds well, actually, there it goes. Yeah.
Ding, ding.
It's somebody's charge cord plugged into their smart device.
I have no smart devices that are plugged in.
How smart are they? Obviously, they're not very smart. Anyway, folks, we are a landscaping and home improvement program, so we're here for you.
Yep.
All you gotta do You can comment on Facebook, 615-499-6690 if you want to call in and leave a message.
Right.
If you leave the message, we can call you back. If you have questions that would need to be more than a simple statement, we may have questions for you. So
And life is full of questions. That's just the nature of it. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to go through life without resolution and having those questions answered. And
that's 1080p.
That's really what we're all about here, Josh. We're here to answer life's questions. And occasionally it has to do with landscaping and home improvement.
If we decide.
Well, there are various things that are important at one time or another, but we are basically about landscaping and home improvement,
right.
and we do work towards that. Mm-hmm. You might want to pan that camera down just a tad there, Michael. Also, the camera itself. There you go. That way that our guest will be able to see us. By the way, speaking of guests, we've got the wonderful, the awesome Pamela Furr coming up telephonically.
Uh-huh.
She's going to give us a first person experience on COVID-19 and what she's dealt with on it, and also what the other things that's going on in her world. And you may know Pamela from WTN, and she's a
news icon.
She is a news icon. And then a bit later on, Ben Trest will be talking to us about living Christmas trees and help you understand the distinction between a living tree and a live tree. And that's a point of confusion for a lot of folks. And also give you pointers if you choose to go with a living tree on how to make sure you have
success. Can you get a pre-lit living tree?
Somewhere, but...
It's just insane to me. People used to use candles to put, the lights on their trees.
They used to keep a bucket of sand and a bucket of water beside the Christmas tree. I remember that as a boy.
I can remember...
very easy.
As a kid, when they had the Christmas trees of the world at Cheekwood. I don't know if you guys may not have ever gone to that, but they had them set up in the mansion, and they had one that I want to say was maybe representative of Germany
most likely.
That had lit candles on it. But I'm assuming they had someone who was at least visually monitoring that, as a fourth grader, you don't really pay much attention to those kind of things.
Well, and my father was stationed, the major, you remember him?
Yes.
He was, we were stationed at Leighton Barracks in Würzburg, Germany. Mm-hmm. It was very common. I mean, now they encouraged the soldiers not to light their candles on their Christmas trees, but you could walk down the street and watch through the windows of the... And it was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. But
you do need to monitor them pretty carefully, though.
The use of the old, remember the old aluminum and plastic tinsel that was on the Christmas trees?
Yes.
Okay. They tend to melt and they tend to catch on fire.
And that aluminum can ignite.
Mm-hmm.
And once it reaches I would imagine that a candle could theoretically raise it to a kindling temperature so that it could flash. And if that happened to be one near the bottom of the tree,
yes,
you got a problem.
Yeah,
if it happened at the top of the tree, it might not be as big of a deal, but
it falls down on the packages and the paper.
But
and
if it starts flashing from the bottom, it's going to go.
There's
up.
A little resin inside a pine tree,
yes,
also
a little bit of that. So open flames obviously are a real discouragement.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
To
or the bubble
tree.
Lights.
And
Bubble lights.
When did they start dipping trees in paraffin? You know what I'm talking about?
They do that with apples.
Well, I know that.
Dipping trees in paraffin?
Like, I remember that distinctly from a few years ago. It's like some kind of fire retardant they put on it.
I don't think it's paraffin that they're putting on there.
They're dipping it in something.
There are products that are anti-transpirants that are on the market that are sprayed on or that could be dipped in that help to keep the tree from drying out.
Maybe
so
that's
quickly.
What I'm thinking of, yeah.
And those anti-transpirants, like there's one that's commercially known as Wilt Proof, that it does a really good job of keeping the moisture in and keeping the needles from dropping off. I doubt seriously it's a fire retardant in the respect that it will keep it from turning brown and lowering, thereby lowering the kindling temperature, which makes it easier to catch on fire, yeah. by the way. So I would say that it's not probably it's a great thing to do to extend the life of your trees to make them.
You probably wouldn't want to put it on the dog, the cat, or the kids, though.
I mean, no. But it's widely used product for plants, and it keeps plants looking a lot better. So
it's not an anti-aging formula?
No. Okay. And it's not going to greatly change the.
Does it enhance the flavor of a steak?
No.
Okay. No. That was MSG. That was what that was.
And speaking of which, I got to throw kudos out to my dear bride, because this past week we had a bison burger with blue cheese on it.
Oh.
It was, I felt like.
Just had one?
Yes, because that's all that she only bought enough for us to each have one.
What's a bison payment?
It made me feel like I was at Ted's Montana Grill, which is one of my favorite places to eat. But the bison burger was delicious.
Now, David, where were you when the Arecibo Radio Telegraph fell down on itself? I know where you were, because I'm
sure
you
had, I was at my desk. That's when I found out about it.
Did you fall out of your chair?
Oh, it's a very sad thing. And those of you who don't know what Arecibo,
David likes the space stuff, guys.
Yeah, well, I think Josh kind of likes it too. But the Arecibo has been one of the mainstays of radio astronomy internationally, in that it has been the largest radio telescope in the world. And this was constructed in a natural depression in Puerto Rico, and back in the 60s, I believe. And it's been really instrumental in mapping all kinds of things in the sky, and also tracking near aliens. Earth objects, asteroids, comets, those kinds of things, so that, for safety purposes. Unfortunately, they did have last year, they had agreed to, it was time to do maintenance on the telescope. But before they could get to it, one of the main
cables
broke. They have multiple cables, but one of the main cables broke. And before they could get that repaired, another one broke. And then they determined it's too dangerous to even try to repair it. And
it's in a seismic area. They have these little things called hurricanes that go through,
And surprisingly, it survived all of those, but no doubt those things have weakened it over the course of time. Anyway, the large receiver that's in the middle, the thing that moves around, all of the cables broke, totally collapsed. Only the towers on the outside of it remain standing, and it's
900 tons.
Yes. So it's really there's a lot of astronomers who are mourning that loss, because it's not going to be easily replaced. I wonder if there's any thought about tearing it all out and starting over again.
Put a Starwood there. It'd be a good place for a place like Starwood.
That's a little remote. It's gonna be hard to get people out there if you're gonna bring the masses.
Well, they always put these telescopes out there where nobody wants to be. I mean, because you have to get away from the light pollution.
Think about what you just said. You said they put telescopes where nobody wants to be. Why would you put Starwood there?
I will tell you this. Light pollution
has Antioch, so I mean, think about
light
it.
Light pollution has no effect on radio telescopes.
I understand that, but they always put these things out there,
and that includes the sun. They work as well in the daytime as they do at night.
Right, but you also have EMT and electromagnetic stuff. These guys, that was way, 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 way back. Can you imagine the computer that they had, the size of the building that they had?
Well, I'm sure the computer would just fit in here only.
Maybe.
It
might.
And it's got the reel-to-reel thing.
So anyway, it's a sad loss for the astronomy world. I mean, it's not like that for most people.
Was itself, that on an AM or an FM radio?
I'm sure that there was a whole lot of bands, more than just AM, more than just amplitude modulation or frequency modulation. There's a whole spectrum that it covers, and that's part of the deal that. And there was actually a singular message sent out in 1974 to some star 25,000 light years away. So
we're not going to hear that in a while.
We're not going. They're not going to be able to get back with us for a bit. It's going to be at least almost 50,000 years before it comes back. So it won't be coming back to Arecibo. At least the set the radio telescope, as it were. Anyway.
Well, they. I just saw something in the news about radio telescopes and how there's some frequency they're picking up out in space, and it happens on like a pattern, like an interval, and it's not a quasar or whatever. They don't know what it is.
Right. Well, the more we look, I think that I saw on a program earlier this week that it's believed that the number of planets that are possibly inhabitable. Now, these are not the number of planets. These are the number of planets that are possibly inhabitable in the universe. Uh-huh. Is likely to be a million billion.
A million billion.
A million billion.
Now, so is that quintillion?
Throw those zeros up in your head. That's quite a lot. So, do we have Pamela?
We do, actually, as a matter of fact.
All right.
Well, we'll wait till we get her telephone. Is she?
I think she's just doing audio.
She's just doing audio, and that's quite all right. So are we going to? Do we have to have yours on for the audio? If you don't have to, because Josh just wants to put her picture.
No, yeah, you can. You don't
Josh,
have to put me
Josh
up.
Wants to put her picture up there, as do I. Uh-huh. And we want everyone to know who we're talking to, and talking about this. Of course, that is Pamela.
Uh huh.
Well,
and she's pretty.
She's gone now.
She's gone. Well, we can just.
She was there, and I admitted her.
Okay. Well, she's decided to.
We're
try
working
different.
Diligently to get her connected.
Hold on, she's back.
Okay. She's back.
Let me click admit.
All right.
Joining.
Pamela, are you there?
Says she's connected to audio, but can't hear you yet.
Okay. Well, she hasn't selected the right output on her computer, likely. Those of us who get to use Zoom on a regular basis, there's no shortage of little inputs and outputs to choose from. But she's a radio veteran. I know she's got it worked out. Pamela, are you there?
Yeah, give her just a second. I got to ask her now to unmute her microphone.
Okay, there we go.
There we go. Now she's there.
Can you hear me now?
We got you, Pamela. Now. Good morning to you. How are you this morning?
Hold on. She's muted her microphone again.
Asked to unmute. Jeez. She doesn't mean. Now we just said to lead into Pamela has been under the weather, to say the very least, because she has tested positive and has suffering the effects of COVID-19.
Yes, she has.
Pamela, are you there with us now?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
We can hear you, and we hope you're feeling better today. Welcome to the At Home Show.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm starting to feel better. I'm on day 16 of this COVID crap.
Oh my!
And yeah, it's been rough. I'm not gonna lie. It hit me pretty hard. And I don't have any of the comorbidities, with the exception of I'm overweight. Boo, hiss, boo. But other than that, I don't have any of the diabetes, the high blood pressure, that kind of stuff. That hits people pretty hard when they get COVID. So this has been interesting, to say the least.
So what are your takeaways as someone who has firsthand experience with it? Do you feel differently in any way about, or have an understanding of it that you simply couldn't have before because you had no experience previously?
Sure. I am taking this a little bit more seriously from the standpoint of wanting to make sure that I'm healthy. So, I'm not going to stop taking vitamin D because I've been downing it like crazy.
Right.
So I'm going to start taking it from now on. I'll probably start taking zinc from now on, that sort of thing. But as far as habits go, I am a true conservative. And so for me, I just don't like government interference. And I've got a story about that here in just a minute, if you want to hear it. But sure. I'm not going to change my living habits, and I wouldn't encourage anybody else to. But if you're sick, this is what I stress. If you are sick, don't go out in public. I know that everybody says wear masks. But if you're sick, I'm
Stay
not
home.
Sure that yeah. is going to help you. You know what I mean?
There's no amount of legislation or laws that can overcome poor judgment.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
You can't cure stupid, Pamela. I mean, that's
the thing. You can't cure stupid. And I know with COVID, there are a lot of people who have it who are asymptomatic. They don't even know they've got it.
Right.
They don't even know to go get tested because they don't have any symptoms.
Well, right? Do you have any idea of who may have exposed you or where you may have picked it up?
I do. I don't really want to say because I don't want, you know, to give up their private information, but I think I do. And it was a little bit of carelessness on my part, allowing folks in my house that I just didn't know very well. And so I don't know what their safety habits are. So it was just kind of truth. It was stupid on my part.
Well, interestingly, you know, of course I have a very, you know, we were deemed an essential business and we've been fortunate to be open throughout. Now, most of our activities in business are outdoors, so you have a natural amount of a level of inherent safety controls in place simply because of the volume of air. You know, it's free.
Right.
Now, the other thing is that we work outside and in the sun, and so
vitamin D is not usually a problem
for everybody here.
Same way with the
so all person. That said, we have been selected to go through a we're going to have a everyone's going to be or everyone who wants to be is going to be tested for the antibodies on Friday of this coming week. So we've got people coming in here. They're going to do the whole lab thing because we have had one person who contracted it, but this employee contracted it from their spouse. And they did through their work.
Now, you guys had done
it. It never got back here, and they stayed out of work for a couple of weeks to make sure that we didn't spread it to anybody. But, interestingly, no one else has had it or had any symptoms. And so they're interested to know, is there are we, in fact, asymptomatic, or have we just managed to avoid it?
Well, one of the things that I want to do as soon as I'm symptom free is I'm going to actually donate my blood so that somebody in the hospital can get the antibodies. That's absolutely something I'm going to do. But here's, if I may, you know, and I'm sure you don't get way crazy political.
Well, we're not a political show at all, but we're going to allow you to tell your story and what people can draw their own conclusions.
Yes. So, I mean, you have to remember that although COVID is bad, I mean, I wouldn't wish this on anybody. The truth of the matter is I'm still here. I'm going to survive this. There are some lingering effects. I still can't smell anything. I'm still coughing like crazy. My energy level's way down. But I'm going to survive. There are those who aren't. There's those that are in the hospital, et cetera, et cetera. But that number is kind of small. You can't legislate, as you said, stupidity. That is the truth. But, I live in Davidson County. And what I have found interesting, somehow or another, my doctor is not in Davidson County. My doctor is just across the county line in Wilson County. But somehow or another, Metro Health Department knows that I have COVID-19. So my first question is, how did they get that information?
Absolutely.
I thought there were HIPAA laws. That's number one. But then number two, now that they have that information, they're now calling me every day, checking in. And I have a, quote, caseworker. And one of the things that they keep telling me is, we have not released you from isolation. And my question is, wait a minute, am I under house arrest? Well, no, but you can't leave your home until we clear you. And my answer to that was laughter. And I said, well, you know, it's the last time I checked, Davidson County is in America. I'm free. The truth is, I don't feel like going anywhere, but as a single person, guys, there have been two times during all of this that I did have to go to the drugstore. My drugstore does not deliver my drugs. Most of my friends work, so they couldn't go pick it up for me when I needed it. So I had to go get it. And I was contagious. So what I did, because I'm a smart human being, I called ahead and said, I am a COVID patient, but I have to go get I have to pick this stuff up. I'm just letting you know ahead of time. So we made arrangements for me to get my drugs, but we made it so no one came in contact with me. I wore gloves and a mask. They wore gloves, masks, headgear, you know, as if it were, you know, a hazmat.
Common sense. Well, and there are a lot of pharmacies that have drive-through facilities available also. So, you know, anybody who's thinking ahead and thinking rightly would certainly take those kind of precautions without somebody having to say, oh, by the way, you need to take these precautions.
Right.
Well,
but as it turns out, common sense, unfortunately, isn't all that common.
That is so true.
Now, Pamela,
I just reminded Metro, hey, guys, you know, thank you for checking in. But if I want to leave my home, I'm going to leave my home. I'm not under arrest. And I think a lot of people have forgotten their rights and through all of this. Plus they started asking me lots and lots of personal questions. And finally I said, guys, at this point, I don't feel comfortable disclosing any more information. And so we just kind of left it at that. They hung up on me yesterday. Now the people are very nice. I don't want, and I'm not going to tell them off because they're just doing their job, you know, very, very nice ladies that have called me. But just if I were to say anything to anybody is you don't have to disclose personal private information. And when they call and ask you to verify your date of birth, make sure you have them tell you what they think they know.
Right.
Don't disclose that. That person might not be from Metro Health Department. You just don't know. So you got to be really careful through all of this.
So when are you projecting to return to work yourself?
I've already started working again. Since this whole COVID stuff began, we've all been forced into our own home studio kind of situations. And so because I'm able to work from home, it's been easier for me to actually, quote, go back to work. Because all I have to do is just kind of, you know, brush my teeth.
You did have to take a few days off, though, right? Because you physically just were not well enough to do
it. Yeah, I was off for about a week and 2 days. Yeah. And if I were going into the studio, I would probably still be off work because I don't really have a lot of strength. But being at home and
you got to walk up the steps to get up to the studio anyway.
Yeah, right. Josh, Michael, and I know about not being in the studio anymore. We were
banished.
On March 16th, they let us know that hey, it's going to be a couple of weeks. But anyway,
we've been flat since then, Pamela.
This is what can happen when you get kicked out of the studio. You just create your own. So anyway,
correct. Okay. Oh yeah, and I love it. And I love your setup. I've watched several times in the last couple of months. I like your setup now.
Well, thank you. But now, Pamela, we have talked about the COVID, and the COVID is canceled so many things this year, and you in particular are in charge of a couple of very big events for Middle Tennessee, one being the Bourbon Bash, which is an absolute blast.
And tell us what the Bourbon Bash is all about, Pamela.
Sure. So basically, it is a bourbon festival, if you will, where we marry Tennessee whiskeys and Kentucky bourbons together, and distributors come and show what they've got, if you will. But it's a fundraiser for military causes. We've partnered with the Green Beret Foundation to raise money for them and some local causes. For instance, if you remember Sergeant Daniel Baker from the Dixon County Sheriff's Department, who was killed in the line of duty. We raised money 1 year for him and his daughter, his young daughter, who will need to go to college at some point. So we raised money for her at 1 year. So we find local first responder kind of causes and the Green Beret Foundation and raise money for that. Last year we raised $100,000. We did pretty good.
So what are you going to do in lieu of that this year? Do you have another fundraising effort underway?
No, I mean, for me, I've seen virtual bourbon or vodka or wine events.
It's not going to work.
It's not the same. Not as many people attend. It's not the same. So we just canceled it for this year, and we're just going to do it you know, again next year in Lake Burst Fork. The other event also is the Tennessee Radio Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And so this year we had a really great class of broadcasters we were inducting, but because of COVID, we just could not have the event. And again, we decided not to do a virtual event because it's just not the same.
But you did do a GoFundMe for that one, didn't you?
We are a charity organization.
Right. 501c3.
Correct. So not a GoFundMe, but some fundraisers on social media to for operating expenses, if you will. Since we didn't have our big ceremony, we still needed to raise a little bit of money. So we have done that. And then we'll have our ceremony July 31st of next year. It'll be our 10th anniversary. And then we'll induct the 2020 class and the 2021 class. So we'll combine both of them.
And that's very good because, you know, I have friends in the music industry. My good friend John Cowan got inducted into the Bluegrass
Hall of Fame.
Oh, nice.
And it was a virtually done event. And also the band that he plays with, the Doobie Brothers, got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And so those events, while they still occurred, certainly the impact, I think, does get diminished because it's, you know, we've had to make this great departure from what, you know, what has been normal.
Yeah, which is kind of sad, but I'm just hoping the moment that December 31st, 23:59, you know, p.m., 11:59 p.m., I'm hoping to just say good riddance to 2020 and ring in the new year, and hopefully things will change rather quickly once a vaccine is out, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so I got a question. Will you take the vaccine, or do you think you'll need to, or... how do you feel about that?
So I don't know that I'm going to need it. I'll have to check because I don't know how long. I don't think anybody knows
they
how
don't
long
really
antibodies
know.
Last. Yeah. So, and I did a story yesterday. Moderna was saying, you know, with the information that they have, they only know so far that the antibodies remain in your body for 3 months after the shot.
After the immunity or after you've had it? Maybe it's the
after
same.
After you've had the shot, the vaccine.
I got you.
Those are the test patients that they have. But, I mean, they've only been testing them for 3 months.
Right, so they have no longer duration period to draw from.
So will I – I'm not sure if I'll need it, but let's say I didn't have COVID. I'm a little I have to see more research. I want to hear more information about the vaccine. If I were a first responder, I would probably say, yes, I'll go ahead and get it. But because I'm not one of those people on the front
line.
And you have
the ability to make an informed decision and remove yourself from situations.
Yeah.
And certainly you've developed a level of experience that you would not have had otherwise since you've
had
it firsthand.
Now, Pamela, we've been so serious here. The yard boy, you know the yard boy, your buddy Corey Smith.
He wanted me to
specifically ask you about your grass.
Oh man, my grass is awesome. Now that's not a lie. We have what is that word?
Aerate.
Yes. He does that for me every fall so that in the winter months, I actually have green grass growing, which I love. And so, yeah, he did it again this year. I mean, unfortunately, I don't think we've had nearly the rain that I've needed, but that's not Yard Boy's fault, I don't think.
If he's really got power over the landscape, he should be able to make that happen. I'm just saying.
Right. But no, it looks great. Yard Boy, you hire him if you get a chance. He does wonderful work.
His bacon's not bad either, is it?
Oh, man. I need bacon.com. Are you kidding?
All right.
It's great bacon and great sausage.
Oh, the smoked sausage, the hot one.
Mm-hmm.
See, that would give you your taste back. If you need to get,
I would hope.
It would certainly do it. Pamela, thank you for joining us.
Really appreciate it. And get well soon. We're really hoping that you can get this behind you. And perhaps there's a little book out there to talk that you can write to talk about your experience in COVID. Mm. So there's a little thought.
That's an idea.
There's an idea. So,
yeah. Do I have to give you a commission?
No. But you got to come back on. But next time you got to come on camera and not have to, not just have a picture of you, okay?
All right.
All right. Deal. It's a deal.
Pamela, thanks again.
I'll talk to y'all soon.
All righty.
Thank you, dear.
Bye-bye
now. Okay. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. I'm like I said, you get the conservative
Never at a loss for words, Pamela Furr. She's entertaining sort, to say the very least.
And she's got dimples, too.
She does have dimples. And you're partial to anybody that has dimples.
It's a superpower, Dave.
I think that you could probably, there's probably some like facial putty that you can use to fill those in and get rid of them.
What's that stuff that they shoot into the ladies?
Oh, put lip? Silicone?
No. The dead bacteria or
Botox?
Botox, yeah.
You might have your dimples Botoxed.
Why would you want to do that?
Well, I don't know.
You take dead bacteria and stick it, you know, the botulism, and stick it into your body? Nah, I don't think so. All righty, folks, 615-499-6690. We did touch a little political. We don't do that. But when you get somebody from WTN on, you're probably going to get an opinion here or there. And
we appreciate Pamela being on. Hey, let's take just a moment and talk about what you're going to grow your plants in, and how you Earthmix Garden Products, and we like to say, you know, success begins at the ground level, and that's because we really put all the best things into Earthmix Garden Products, and that's not simply fertilizers. We don't add fertilizers to it. It's based on nature. Things such as humic acid, mycorrhiza fungi, and all the best inputs that nature offers is what Earthmix Garden Products is comprised of, whether you're talking about supernatural, organic compost, garden, the original product, the premium topsoil blend, or any of the other fine products, including Earthmix Landscape, which is used widely for people planting all kinds of things, trees, shrubs, ground covers, you name it. The whole line of Earthmix garden products are sustainably produced and organic right here in Nashville, Tennessee, so you can know you're going to get the best results. And they're widely available all over the Middle Tennessee area, not just Middle Tennessee, but also into Kentucky and in southern Indiana and in Ohio. So if you click up on the map, you'll see all the little pins there from West Tennessee to Southeast Tennessee. So check out all those locations, even Greenfield Plant Farm up in Mainville, Ohio. Check those folks out. Remember this, success in gardening begins at the ground level when you use Earthmix Garden Products, and we appreciate your attention for just a moment.
All righty, folks, 615-499-6690. Are we still going out on Facebook Live?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
We have a comment.
Okay.
On the Bates Nursery Facebook page, Joy Lewis Hassler says, I am thinking about putting in a larger evergreen in my front side yard. I've been eyeing the golden Deodar, but I'm scared it will get huge. I have a space that is about 25 feet wide, and it can get as high as it wants. I already have arborvitae, Hortzman Blue Atlas, Skylands. What should I plant? What's your favorite?
Well, first thing you tell it is you have to be very careful when you're getting high. You don't want to get too high, right?
Well, I think that's talking about like climbing up a ladder.
Oh.
They don't worry about how tall. Yes, they're worried about how tall or how wide it's going to get. Now, a golden deodar cedar, while they can get quite large, they don't grow that fast. And because of that, in a 25-foot area, it's never going to give you problems as far as overgrowing the area. So I think you can plant that and have excellent confidence in it that it will do well and give you the kind of look you want. Mm-hmm. It's really a wonderful plant that gives you great color and it's going to give you good height. So, and I don't know if we've got a spot coming up here. The same issue we had on our camera on the phone before, Tyler.
Oh.
We're going to have to run that in the portrait mode only, simply because the camera, we discovered that it won't rotate.
Oh. Okay.
They keep trying to rotate it. We get a sideways picture. So we're about ready to come up here with our
next question, though.
Okay.
In the garden with Bates Nursery. Okay. There's a question there about Annette Schrader wants to know what kind of varieties of ginkgo trees do you currently have in stock? I think
we probably, off the top of my head, we probably have autumn gold, and I don't know that there are others. There probably are some pretty ornamental types that we get from Isley Nursery. So off the top of my head, Annette, and by the way, Annette, you will know because she has been on PBS for years and a long time friend on a volunteer gardener, so she's one of those.
So she needs to come out to 3810 Whitesburg Pike and just see for herself.
The answer to the question, you know, you can just go to BatesNursery.com and go to the search box and just type ginkgo in there, and it'll show you everything that we have. And that's, since we've done that, I can't carry inventory or any information much in my head. So with that said, are we ready to move on to our next segment here?
Yeah, I think we're good to go.
All right. Well, we're gonna welcome in Ben Trest, our very own Ben Trest. And good morning, Ben. Welcome to the At Home Show.
Morning. How are y'all?
Doing great. And a lot of people are, of course, where everybody's getting into the Christmas spirit, you know, in an adjusted sort of way. And I see you've got a nice display of poinsettias there behind you. But what we're hoping to hear from you today is to talk about living Christmas trees. Now, first of all, what's the difference between a living Christmas tree and a live tree?
Well, typically when someone says a live tree, we're talking about a live cut Christmas tree, like we're going to find it, you know, most of your big box stores, Kroger's. What we're talking about is a tree that is grown in the field, dug, put in ball and burlap, sometimes a cage, and something that you can put into your landscape for further generations. So getting more than one season out of that live Christmas tree.
Yeah, and you're probably talking about a similar amount of money that you will spend on a living tree, which actually you can plant after Christmas, as opposed to a live or cut tree. Now, it's also worth mentioning that it's not just bald and burlap. There are container-grown conifers as well that we can use for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, the care for those is going to be the same. I mean, bald and burlap can be a little bit heavier.
Right.
So for someone with a small home or an apartment, something in a pot treated the same way as our burlap trees is a much better option. I mean, Alberta spruce, you know, this time of year is one of the most popular potted Christmas tree looking plants out there, and pretty much 100% grown in a pot.
All right. Well, give us a little demonstration there of how people should expect to be able to treat a living Christmas tree when they bring it into the house.
Sure. Yeah, so we've kind of got a scaled-down replica. This is a potted tree that we've kind of burlapped to give you an example. So what I would do before you bring it inside, we do carry anti-desiccant, like wilt-proof. It's going to be a basically a pine sap-based product. Before you bring it inside or put ornaments on it, spray that tree down with a light coating to keep it from losing water.
And it may take it – you may need to do that the day in advance – you want to give it a chance to dry, because it has a very tacky feel to it, even once it is dry. So
it's tacky?
Right.
It is.
Absolutely.
Because it does have pine resin in it.
Right, right. And it's not going to be a good thing to get on your hardwood floors.
No, you want to do that outside.
Or the carpet.
Yeah. Yeah. So spray it down a day ahead of time if you can, and then bring it inside if you want. You could acclimate it on a porch in a garage. Before you bring it in for Christmas. So, you know, a week before Christmas, acclimate it just outside your house. And then bring that inside a galvanized tub you could pick up at a hardware store. We sell these rubberized tubs, which are great. But yeah, put your tree into that tub, you know, making sure you have a little wiggle room. And then we usually recommend to sink it in, put something underneath it, a rock, a brick, something strong to keep it straight. And then just fill that container with mulch to hold that moisture, insulate the roots. I've got pine fines. This is what I would kind of use.
Right.
Any of our mulch products, I think, would be great to fill in around your Christmas tree. But literally just dumping that around the tree.
Well, the good thing about using whatever type of mulch that you might have at your home is it gives you a place to use it after Christmas. You can take that container out and add it to the mulch you already have in your landscape, and it will match exactly. So just get whatever kind. Should it be regular natural hardwood mulch, you could use that. You could use the black mulch if you preferred to use that. Or, as you say, the pine fines is also good for a whole variety of applications, including improving
the soil. Probably wouldn't want to use the 50,000-mile tire
rubber mulch.
Rubber mulch?
No. Well, no. You have to rotate those because it's so. All right. So, what you got next, Ben?
Well, I was just going to show that you could fill this up pretty full. Try not to be too messy.
And the good thing about if you're using mulch in it is you don't really have to have any other kind of a prop or anything to stand a tree up. You can simply put enough mulch in there, and that will hold the tree in the upright position and keep it from being able to wiggle around on you. And, of course, the mulch also is most important to help assure that you keep moisture around that root ball. And that's the part that once people get the trees inside, I think it's frequently misunderstood is how quickly they can dry out.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I know we recommend to use ice if you can. That way you can water that tree and keep it cool and dormant at the same time. But a good waterproof tub is going to allow you to keep that tree wet.
Now, for people who are interested in keeping a tree, a living tree, indoors for a long period of time, it's really not a good idea unless you have the ability to turn the heat off that's in the room where the tree is, correct?
But you can't roast your chestnuts with the Christmas tree?
Well, you don't do that every day. You just do that like right before Christmas. You can handle the warmth for maybe a day, but you
don't want to bring it out of dormancy.
That's the whole deal, right, Ben?
Yeah, exactly. And these evergreens thrive on the cold weather and going through a dormant season. So allowing them to stay cold is going to be kind of key here. If we give them 2 weeks of room temperature, that's real unnatural for them, and they'll dry out and start dropping needles.
Right. So it's really important for folks to remember that the amount of water they may require, depending on the size of the tree, it could require a gallon of water a day to soak up. But, and you mentioned ice earlier, if you can water it, literally pack ice around the top of the root ball, as it melts, it will water the tree, and it also keeps the soil temperature cold, which helps to prolong and ensure that it doesn't break dormancy, because that's the real enemy, is that you don't want to bring a tree out of the house that's been in the 70s and go out to in the 20s when you get ready to plant it.
Right. And that's the same reason we get frost damage in the spring, is if it warms up too much. So putting it outside for 5, 6, 7 days in a covered, protected porch, a garage, is going to really help that tree acclimate.
Give it that transition time back into before it gets out into the severe cold. And for that reason, because we never know what the weather's going to do, it's always a good idea. You obviously know where you have in mind to plant it. It's a good idea to go ahead and get that hole dug before
maybe the ground freezes.
Before the ground might freeze, or you could have some. Get that dug and cover the soil, or put it in a container or in a wheelbarrow where you can keep it where it's comparatively dry, and have the hole dug so that once you get to the point, now we're talking probably into the first week or the second week of January before you take it out of the garage, this transition area. That way you can be assured you've got all the conditions ready to plant it.
Right, absolutely. And we never know what the weather's going to do around here. Having that pre-dug ready. I know some people will leave it in that pre-dug hole before bringing it inside, just to have a place to keep that burlap.
Right, and that's a good idea. It's assured of staying dormant that way.
And it also gives the project manager an opportunity to change her mind.
Well, sometimes. Now, one of the things that I've kind of encouraged people, given the whole COVID nature of life that we're all dealing with, is, and we're this whole issue of dealing with close proximity to other people, you could have a living tree out on the patio or out on your deck area, and you could put it out there right now and decorate it and have it throughout the entire season without having the concerns of it coming out of dormancy because it's still outside.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, ball and burlap trees survive really well outside in the cold. I had a customer the other day that lives in an RV, and she has a really nice covered porch, and she's going to leave her Christmas tree out in that full cold weather covered porch all Christmas, and then they're going to plant it outside, and so that every generation can kind of see that grow. But yeah, I mean, if you have a cold room where people can gather, that tree could stay out there all winter, really.
Ben, I actually had a guest once upon a time who took the living Christmas tree thing to a level that was not intended. They actually dug up the tree every year and brought it back in the house and then took it back out. And I go, well, you know, that's a bit more work, and you're dealing with a progressively larger tree each time. So that I think they managed to do that 6 or 7 years before they finally said, okay, that's enough. The good thing about it is that if you are planting things, if you're needing a natural screen or something like that with a little forethought, you can have this planting of living things growing in your yard successfully, and just year by year add to it.
Yeah, and most of our living Christmas trees and ball and burlap are very large screen trees naturally, so 30 to 40 foot minimum on most of our ball and burlap Christmas trees. So,
and that's what folks need to keep in mind, is that when you've got that little baby tree like he's got in there in front of him right now, that thing is going to get to be something you could put in Rockefeller Plaza.
Yeah, now that particular variety right there won't, but the conventional ball and burlap tree, white pine, hemlock, Norway spruce, right, those are all rather large growing conifers, so you need to allow for the proper amount of space to be able to do that. Now, there's also a thing that I think is a good idea. Now, I haven't had a line of people agreeing with me necessarily, but I think the use of alternate trees for Christmas trees, like things like Japanese maples that are dormant, or if you're looking, say, like, I don't really have a place for a big conifer, you could select a different kind of tree and put lights and ornaments on it, and I think still adds a very nice touch. A Sengokaku Japanese maple, the coral bark, would be a nice choice for this time of year. It gives you great coral bark colored stems on it, and I think would add a nice touch to the Christmas ambiance.
Yeah, that's actually in my front yard. I have a little 4 foot Sengokaku, and it's got Christmas lights all over it. So, it's a great option.
All right, so let's recap briefly here, Ben.
Sure.
First of all, you want to limit the amount of time you have the tree in the house. We really only should be in there about a week if you have normal heating and cooling in your house. You only want to have it in there a week. You want to do everything you can to keep the air temperature in that room down. Close the vents, close doors that are keep the temperature down as much as possible. That'll help ensure that it stays dormant. Make sure that you keep it watered properly.
With ice.
With ice.
With ice, you can.
Mm-hmm. And then, also, we want to make sure that we not only have a transition inside, we want to have a transition going out. You don't want to go straight back outside necessarily, because you don't know what the weather's going to be out a few weeks ahead.
Right.
And
have your hole pre-dug. That way, if weather changes, you're still able to get it out in the ground by the time it's done acclimating.
Ben, great information today. And also, Ben has another Bates Nursery Botanical Boot Camp link out where he kind of has gone through a lot of these points and some others. So if you want to check that out, you can go over to the Bates Nursery website and scroll down to the Bates Nursery Botanical Boot Camp, and then the archives down there. It's one of the more recent ones that we've just put up here in the last couple of weeks, obviously because it's the Christmas time of year. So, Ben, thanks much for being on this morning. And y'all come on out and see Ben today. He'll be here till 4 o'clock. So we look forward to seeing you here. And thanks again for being on, Ben.
Yeah, thank y'all.
All right.
Your lovely bride is watching. She thanks you for talking about nice about her bison burger that she made for you.
It was delicious. It was absolutely phenomenal. I was glad there wasn't a second one there, and I told her that. I said, because I would not have been able to have resisted. But I was, you know, I have remarkable self-control.
When you're controlling yourself.
When there's nothing, you know, when there's nothing there to keep me from.
A quick tour around, or you want to go ahead and talk about Bates this morning?
Well, let's just go ahead and talk about Bates Nursery quickly here. And we appreciate your tuning in and checking out what Ben had to say. And, of course, Annette Schrader called in and asked about, you know, what we have in Ginkgo's. You know, go over to BatesNursery.com, and I'm just going to.
You're just going to go over there?
I'm just going to type in the word gin and see what that's just the first three. You see, and there all kinds of things come up there. But G-I-N-G-K-O would be ginkgo. Let's see how far that comes up. I haven't seen it yet. There are multiple pages, but the point is that you can go in there on the website and you can type in and search for whatever we've got, and no matter if it is a tropicals or ground covers or any of the trees and shrubs that we have on the lot.
Poinsettias
and all other manner of things. You type in your search criteria and it'll give you the results there. And we really work hard at trying to give you the most and best information that you need at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. And that's not just about trees and shrubs. It's about all manner of things. No matter what you're needing or using in your landscape, we really work hard to try to have that for you. We've got an entire staff of informed people like Ben, our landscape professionals who are degreed horticulturalists who can speak with confidence about the subject matter, because this is what they do every day. They weren't working in hardware last week. This is what we do. We're about plants and the things that it takes to assure you to have success in looking at a specific situation and help you to get the right plant in the right place the first time. Now, this is our last week, a tremendous month, which has actually lasted longer than a month, is coming to an end, because all of our deciduous trees, excluding Japanese maples, are now 33% off. And you could also get Earth Mix Landscape at 33% off.
Wow.
If you're a Bates Rewards member. And if you're not a Bates Rewards member, it takes about 30 seconds to sign up. And we don't share your information with anyone.
Nope.
It's just me and you. I write a weekly newsletter, and you're welcome to take that. And if you decide that you don't want to receive it, you can just unsubscribe. Click. And that's the end of it.
It goes away.
We come out, invite you to come out and see us at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. And we are conveniently located 1 mile north of Briley Parkway at exit 19 on White's Creek Pike, just minutes from Rivergate Opry Mills, Nashville West, downtown Nashville. And I promise you this, it is worth the drive no matter where you're coming from. Check out our website here, batesnursery.com. Or you can give us a call starting at 9 o'clock, 615-876-1014. We're open from Monday through Saturday from 9 until 4 o'clock. Now closed on Sundays until March. Bates Nursery and Garden Center, beautifying Nashville since 1932.
I want to say something. These little guys were a monster hit at the Proving Grounds last week.
They are simply adorable.
The most adorable little poinsettia you've ever seen in your life.
I would say that it's probably going to go over a lot better than being part of the Fertilizer of the Month Club.
Well, it did.
Now, Michael's talking about, you know, when he bought last year, Thoughtful Josh, he bought for his dear bride Diana overseed.
Aerate and overseed by the yard boy, no less.
But I will say that the results turned out wonderfully.
For my birthday.
But you don't, yeah. Birthday. Yeah, your birthday is in March. So it looked great at his birthday, but not so much at hers. So.
These are available out here at Bates. You just got a bunch of them in. But the folks, and for a little girl, a little kid, a female, well, anybody.
A nice little desk decoration if you want to have something in your office.
A boss.
There.
Yeah. You know, Christmas very nice party.
And a very, very economical. So you check one of those out.
And you get the pot with it, too. So
yeah. Looks like a candy cane.
Kind of like
mine. Look more like a Christmas bulb. We got, I imagine that cycles through and rotates.
We have
through.
Those for sure.
You do have the Christmas bulbs.
Red,
as well?
Green, silver, gold.
So if you wanted to take it in here, and I'm going to want to damage this one, it has its own little pot inside there. So if you want to take it out and put it into a champagne glass, perhaps?
The opportunities and the options are only limited by your imagination. And, Josh, we all know that's pretty vivid. Josh's imagination's way out there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that where we're at? I thought it was just – sorry.
What?
What? It's okay. We're out of time.
Hey, we're getting really close. So, thanks everybody for tuning in this week. We really appreciate it. And I hope you'll come back to see us next week. And, of course, you can follow us
anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all over.
Share us out on your stream. We really appreciate you helping to spread the word. You can subscribe on
YouTube.
Our YouTube channel and check it out at any of those places.
If you connect with us on LinkedIn, we're out there. You'll see them out there as well. We're looking at all kinds of different things. But one thing's for sure is that we will be here alive every Saturday morning foreseeable future. And we appreciate you being here for us. And for everybody here at the At Home Show Green Room team, we thank you for being here. See you next Saturday morning for the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates.